This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Thanks for tuning in today. Today, we'll look at the state of Milwaukee's economy and how the economic downturn caused by the pandemic has impacted the city. We'll learn about a new documentary that looks at the ways the Latino community has changed and improved the state. And we'll also learn about art and symbolism found in Milwaukee's Forest Home Cemetery. We'll start with this. The nation's COVID-19 vaccine rollout so far has been chaotic and confusing. Although the federal government is supplying vaccines, distribution has been left to individual states, and the process for widespread vaccinations is still unclear. Dr. Heather Parody, medical director for the Milwaukee Health Department, joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to shed some light on the process here in Wisconsin.
Right now, do we have a timeline for when we think everyone in the state of Wisconsin, but specifically here in Milwaukee, will be able to be vaccinated?
The first allocations of the COVID vaccine have gone to healthcare systems who are focused on vaccinating their frontline employees, those who are at highest risk of contracting COVID because of their daily activities at work. I think that the fluidity of this situation with respect to vaccine, so how much is coming to the state, and similarly, how and when the state is able to expand that distribution of vaccine to other entities and other vaccinators, is still taking shape. What we do anticipate is that this 1A group, the frontline healthcare workers, as well as residents and workers within long-term care facilities and nursing homes across our state, is likely to take at least the first month of 2021 and likely into the beginning of February before we start to see a transition to the next phases of vaccine allocation.
You mentioned the 1A group, and I'd like to get back to that in just a moment, but I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about how this process is really happening. There are politicians who have made it seem like vaccine distribution is being led by the federal government, and specifically President Trump's Operation Warp Speed. But as I've dug into this story, that doesn't seem to be the case. Who is really in charge of this process here in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee?
So Operation Warp Speed at the federal level is securing much of our initial doses and phases of vaccine. And at the state level, the vaccine is coming through our Department of Health Services, or DHS. So the state is processing those applications and similarly is handling the large shipments of vaccine and distributing the vaccine to those recognized entities that have gotten through the application process to become approved vaccinators.
Okay, so to clarify, the federal government is or has been responsible for getting the vaccines from these companies. And then essentially, the Department of Health Services at the state level is sending these vaccines to different healthcare facilities who will then, are they deciding who will get the vaccine or are they just responsible for administering it to people?
So at the state level, they are processing applications, ensuring that individual entities who are applying to be vaccinators meet all of the requisite requirements and are able to store the vaccine in the ways that are necessary, that are specific to the individual vaccines that are coming out, as well as the ability, the infrastructure, the other logistics and operations that are necessary in order to actually get it into the arms of individuals that it's intended.
So who is deciding whose arms are getting it? Who's deciding the order of who gets the vaccine first?
So in large part, we, public health, healthcare entities, and others are following the guidance that has been put forth by both the CDC as well as the ACIP committee that advises on vaccine distribution to individuals during times such as this, where demand is larger than the vaccine supply.
What does that list actually look like?
The way that vaccine prioritization has been recommended during these initial phases of vaccine rollout is to first prioritize within what is being called a 1A group. And that 1A group specifically is healthcare providers, so individuals who are either providing direct healthcare or working directly with people or specimens where they might be at higher risk for coming in contact with COVID because of their daily work activities. So that might include healthcare providers, it might include laboratory workers, it might include others who are in those types of environments and settings. The other group that has been prioritized for that group 1A vaccine distribution is individuals who live in or work in assisted living and nursing home settings.
I've gotten this question from a few people in my life who are elderly, who have some pre-existing conditions that would make them higher risk of getting COVID-19, but they live independently. And I think this is a question that really speaks for a lot of people right now. How do they get the vaccine? Even though they're high risk, they don't live in a facility with other people, a long-term care facility. How do they get it?
Yes, that's a great question, and one that we've been fielding lots of calls about. Those individuals who are of advanced age and may have some associated health risk factors and who are living independently would fall into the next phase of prioritization according to the guidance that has been given. So a phase 1B, specifically those individuals who are 75 years and above, as well as individuals who are considered frontline essential workers. So people like first responders, individuals who cannot perform the duties of their jobs remotely, whose jobs bring them into frequent contact with members of the public and or are working in settings where it is very difficult to social distance from their workmates.
My partner is a UPS driver. In Milwaukee, if you're someone who is a UPS driver or is someone like a grocery store worker, someone who is dealing with people on a daily basis, as you say, can't really do their job without being in contact with other people, would they fall under our 1B category? Or is that really something that isn't clear for us quite yet?
Individuals who are employed through municipalities, so for instance, city workers, as a health department, we're currently working through some of those logistics of how individuals might be phased from a vaccinating our city workforce standpoint. There is active work taking place at both the city and the county level that we are also participating in that, to your point, is hosting conversations and understanding what types of networks and infrastructure are going to be necessary for the grocery stores, for the hotels, for the other operators within our city that don't fall under the city government structure.
Okay, so if you're someone who's, let's say, working at the local Pick and Save, it sounds like it wouldn't necessarily be incumbent on each individual to seek out the access to that vaccine, but rather the city, the county, the state are working on creating some kind of network to get this vaccine to people. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely. And similar if you work in a manufacturing type of a role where you have to be on the manufacturing line every day, what we anticipate is that we will be working with many of the larger employers and will be creating pathways for vaccination of their individuals. And also recognizing that there are many, just like with healthcare providers, not everyone is affiliated with a larger entity or organization. And so also understanding what the catchment needs to look like for those individuals who may be independent or unaffiliated.
For unaffiliated people or people who work at smaller companies, this is definitely a concern. I think there's this idea that, well, there is a vaccine out there, but I don't know how I'm going to get it. Is that something that will ultimately be under the purview of the city, the county, the state, or for someone like me even, who can work fully at home, should I be contacting my healthcare provider saying, hey, whenever this is available to me, I'd like to get it?
Yeah, I do believe that there are going to be many pathways that are created to disseminate vaccine. So through health systems and individual health providers is certainly one route that we anticipate. Public health is another route. And as I said, pharmacies and pharmacists, just like with the testing, COVID testing landscape, we see all those individuals playing very important roles, and there will likely be others that come onto the scene for vaccination.
As you mentioned, vaccinations have already started at long-term care facilities here in Wisconsin. They've also started for healthcare providers. Do we have an idea of when we might see more widespread distribution? As you say, access to the vaccine itself is pretty limited. It's unclear what it's going to look like in the future. But can you say whether we're talking about 6 months or a year?
So we're really hopeful that with continued vaccine production and distribution to states and to local authorities, that this period of scarcity will be relatively brief, say several months or through the first quarter of 2021, before we really start to see more widespread availability and much easier access for individuals who desire to be vaccinated.
To put a kind of date on it, do you think by next Christmas that people will have already been vaccinated?
Oh, I think by next Christmas we'll be looking at a very different sort of picture.
All right.
In terms of a vaccine. I want to point out, though, that until we hit a point of truly widespread vaccination of individuals, that it's going to be essential that we as a society continue to practice all of the measures that we've put in place for COVID. So wearing masks, keeping a physical distance, staying home when we're feeling ill, and frequently washing or disinfecting our hands and other surfaces.
Well, Dr. Parody, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you.
Dr. Heather Parody is the medical director for the Milwaukee Health Department, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.